We present the News Quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the News Quiz. We start with an item from the Yorkshire Yeller free ads, read by Charlotte Green.
Casio Pocket Colour TV, compact 21-inch screen, £40.
Thanks to Johnny Ashton of Garforth Leeds for sending that. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Fred McCauley. And opposite them on my left, Alan Corran and Rachel Hayo Flint. Andy, your first question. After last week's attack on asylum seekers, who is William Hague gunning for this week?
Right, well, this is William Hague's new Law and Order initiative. I'm not sure I've followed this story that closely, but as I understand it, if you're worried about intruders in your home, he will come round and guard your place all night for you, just sitting in your front room in his judo kit, quietly singing, "Come and have a go with you, think you're hard enough." And I think he's offered this policy because of this rather unfortunate case of the farmer shooting the burglars in Norfolk. And all I would say is that I think it's very dangerous to base a policy on something that happens in Norfolk. Because because it's a strange place, Norfolk. It's very, very flat and very, very dark. It's the English version of Deliverance, Norfolk.
Didn't it say that he was going to knee-jerk the people? Is that some kind of judo move?
It sounds like it could be enjoyable in a funny, perverse way.
The Tory leader said it was an outrage that Martin should be in jail when that place could be taken by an asylum seeker. He said he was wholly in favour of the 12 bore, or the shadow cabinet, as we call it. So 2 points to Andy. Fred, which phoenix doesn't look like it'll rise from the ashes and fly?
Ooh. Somebody started to play the blues on a harmonica there when you mentioned that. This phoenix, crikey, I'm not going to get out of here alive, am I? It's trying to raise something out of the ashes, aren't they? And the other company involved is Alchemy, which I think, didn't they turn some into gold? And of course, Midas as well, that's another company you want to get involved. But I reckon it's Bernard Matthews, because the whole thing looks like a massive turkey to me. Thanks very much, good night. It's Stephen Byers is trying to sell off the entire stock of Rover cars in one go, I think, or something like that, isn't it? To
more or less.
Generate a bit of business.
If we just check how many people in the audience could lose their jobs in connection with this story before we go on and do jokes about it.
It's very bad news. The alternative man should be called Byers when he can't find any, I don't know.
The alternative bid for Rover from Phoenix, headed by former Rover boss John Towers, could protect a large number of jobs, especially the one currently held by Steve Byers. Mr. Byers warned BMW against silly little PR stunts, a phrase eerily similar to the phrase most Longbridge workers use to describe him. Rachel, welcome back after 90 years, you said, of absence from the News Quiz.
Including VAT, yes, that's right.
Whose less than striking performance was given a D minus?
I think it's probably because I can still read at an early age. and you look like a conference audience out there. The very smartly dressed teaching fraternity have been meeting in some seaside resort, like, is it Bosnia or Kosovo or something like that? And they've decided that, I'm now going to offend some teachers in the audience, but they don't have enough holidays and therefore Well, I just see if you're living there.
We have more teachers than Longbridge workers here.
But they do work very, very hard in the hours that they are at school. Because I'm a big creep as well, but they were required to produce wonderful performances, and by getting wonderful performances, like if you're a music teacher and you get them to play in tune, you actually will get a pay increase, and they thought that was rather a difficult way to get a pay increase. So they were going to strike against performance-related pay. PERP, it's called for short.
I think, why can't we put politicians on performance-related pay? We'd save a fortune.
All I can say is I'm just looking through the script that's to come. I hope we haven't got any Nazis, politicians or people with... Anyone here with breast implants?
Yeah.
Thank God for that. It was the angry reaction by Doug McAvoy, the General Secretary of the NUT, after its delegates voted to ballot for strike action over performance-related pay. One delegate spoke of an atmosphere of rancour, bitter recrimination and malice. But that's enough about her 5C geography class. So, 2 points to Rachel. Alan, your piece of music. Anne Widdecombe reacting to the latest news about asylum seekers. But not really, because the question is, Alan, which king of the swingers never quite reached the top, but had to stop nonetheless?
Well, this is very sad. I mean, it's Heather who's leaving politics to spend more time with his money. He's, he is a little infirm, a little older, a little greyer, and therefore unable to knife anybody in the back of the younger Swisher people, now that William has got his brown belt and all the rest of it. Don't ask how his belt got brown, but that's a point. No, it's today's, or yesterday's, or 3 days ago, if you're listening to repeat, or if it's the millennium edition next time, 1,000 years ago. Michael Heseltine left politics, and politics is the poorer for it.
Spoken like a true liberal.
What pisses me off is I'm now older than any Conservative left in Parliament. And that makes you feel very old indeed. There's only Heath left.
I will miss Michael Heseltine, because as a comedy writer over the years, he's been a great mainstay. But
he's not been a comedy writer over the years, has he? How's your participle dangling today, Andy?
I get the teachers in.
Do you think comedy writers should be on performance-related pay?
No.
Yes, Michael Ray Dibden Heseltine announced his retirement as an MP on the Today programme on Thursday morning. And you may wish to know that an anagram of Michael Heseltine is, elect him, he's alien. And the scores at the end of round one are, everybody, 4 points. And we begin round two with an item seen in the Western Gazette.
If people are to be tempted out of their cars and onto public transport, then this revised service has to be one of the best in the area. For the first time ever, Somerton now has a half-yearly service to Yeovil.
Thanks to Keith Spence of Taunton for that. Andy, who genuinely denied any Nazi skullduggery?
The Russians have put on display Hitler's skull. They swear that it is Hitler's skull because it's got a bullet hole in it. And I'm not quite sure, why is it on display? Fred, you know this?
The Russians have had it for 55 years, and it's only a bit of his skull, so I think they're kind of jumping to the conclusion that he is actually dead. Yeah, could have had a bit removed. I think it's the wee moustache at the front that's the bit to give away. And they've also got one arm from the skeleton as well, which they're more than certain is his, because the hand's like that. Which I've got to say is probably a brilliant radio guy.
It's a great guy. Great guy. There will be a diagram of Fred's arm position on the News Quiz website for anyone who wants to visit it. I don't think you should get bits of Hitler out, because whenever you get bits of him out, it tends to attract all these rather shady neo-Nazi figures who come and pay homage. The only other... I don't think
he's dead. I think he's... I think he shaved his moustache off and now writes revisionist history. I'm trying to get sued by the man for God. He's got a fortune and nobody else can get it off him.
So that was it, a bit of Hitler in a glass. Very nice. With one of those interactive things that kids can push. The sound of a bullet going through it.
Actually, the person that held the skull said they got a very negative feeling when they held the skull, as opposed to, you know, when you hold other skulls and you feel bright.
Oh, it's got a bullet hole in, that's jolly. That's also going to be a bit weird on radio. You miming getting your fingers stuck in a hole in a skull?
50 years after he died, what's claimed to be a section of Hitler's skull has gone on display at an exhibition of Nazi memorabilia in Moscow. The Nazi exhibition was opened with a modest ceremony, after which the invited guests invaded a Polish restaurant across the street. 2 points to Andy. Fred, why will the milk of human kindness soon bring you £10 a week?
Women are going to get £10 for breastfeeding, but I think I'm right in saying it's only your own children. It's not like you can rush in and do a whole classroom full and get 300 quid or 340 in some areas.
But they haven't yet worked out how you prove it. I mean, do you go to the post office counter and say...
Stamp that.
Oh, another mime.
There's your tenner, Andy. I've only got 20. You'll have to do the other one as well.
It's nothing to do, of course, with the fact that the Prime Minister's wife is expecting a baby, is it?
No. Sherry's not going to breastfeed in public, surely, that, I mean...
Only if she becomes a Member of Parliament.
I think they've targeted the wrong people for the incentive. I think if you charged men 30 quid to watch, I think that's a bigger money spinner, probably.
I bet you feel a right tit now, don't you?
According to a report, the government's considering paying mothers £10 per week to breastfeed their children. Paediatricians advise that breastfeeding should carry on for 6 months, and psychiatrists advise it should stop at least before 32 years. 2 points to Fred. Alan, who's got a penchant for mucking around with your pension?
Yes, well, this is another great government liberal initiative. We're all going to have to work to 95, or we won't get any benefits. That's why I'm doing the news quiz. I should be doing this news quiz in the year 2300. The dynamic of approaching this pension under the present new Labour government is the more you reach for it, it just goes away. So you've got to keep on... In order... The economics is, in order to get a decent pension, you have to work to the age of about 300, and it's great at 301. But as soon as you get to your 301st birthday, it's moved just a little bit further off. So nobody will ever get anything. But so far, they've got as far as 65. I mean, the under-55s can't draw anything, and now they're going to insist that people between 55 and 65 must seek work actively. It's crazy.
But, as I understand, when people retire, they tend to stop paying taxes and they start to claim their pension. Now, I thought that was how it was supposed to work. I seem to remember that being the initial idea of pensions.
No, I mean, it is a joyous catch-22. You can only ever earn enough for a pension if you work until a point when you no longer take a pension. I mean, it's really quite extraordinary. It's totally cyclic. And he's a clever bugger, Gordon Brown, isn't he? You put him there, Andy. The only way I can survive is breastfeeding after 65.
The government's policy is based on a report which is called Winning the Generation Game. Under Labour, you work hard for 65 years, and at the end, you get a coffee percolator and a cuddly toy. Andy, who was Weller advised to stop getting up everyone's noses?
Well, it's at this point, sadly, that I have to reveal the existence of a News Quiz bribery scandal. Because a Malaysian businessman has paid me a lot of money to throw this question. I just want you to know that, because it might look like I don't know it.
Weller advised to
shampoo.
Stop getting...
Well, who is Weller?
Shampoo, the nostril...
Oh, I know who it is. Shampoo? It's Yardley.
It is?
Yes.
It's that dick... It's that... No, it's that... it's the man who was the... formerly the head of Yardley, and he said there's absolutely nothing in any perfume at all, and all the money is spent on promotion and the label, and everything smells the same, it's really only old fish rose.
And seaweed and things like that.
Oh, Weller was one of the products, was it?
It's right. Like wash and go, which is what you use, is
yes.
it?
Thanks, Rachel.
That's another radio quiz.
That's another radio I'm not going to... I'm going to elaborate.
Wash and when?
Jesse, polish and go, if you want to know the truth.
So I didn't know that perfume was a waste of time.
But Alan did, so he gets 2 points. 119 former employees of Yardley have launched a £4 million unfair dismissal claim against the German firm Weller, hence the question, who bought the cosmetics firm shortly before it went bankrupt. Yardley's attempts to appeal to a younger clientele failed despite a £7 million advertising campaign starring Dame Thora Heard. 2 points to Alan. Rachel, listen to this.
Itself keeps on expanding and expanding in all of the directions it can whiz. As fast as it can go, at the speed of light, you know, 12 million miles a minute, and that's the fastest speed there is. So remember when you're feeling very small and insecure, how amazingly unlikely is your birth. And pray that there's intelligent life somewhere up in space, 'cause there's bugger all down here on Earth.
The galaxy song from Monty Python's The Meaning of Life. Rachel, why has Einstein's theory of the universe been flattened?
Well, not... I was a former teacher as well, and not being a scientist, but it's to do with wonderful scientific theories that I'm sure you know more about.
No, it's to do with being flat. They've discovered... They looked out of the window and discovered the universe was flat. It's like a soup plate, and all the planets are rolling about in it like marbles. In any minute, we could roll off the edge.
But I thought that was
Columbus
Norfolk.
Will not be vindicated.
Isn't it? Something
very flat, the
very
universe.
Very flat, like Norfolk as well. And dark. Is
and
it dark?
It's not for me to quibble with scientists, but you look up at the universe every night. That's not flat. It's not what I... A pizza is what I call flat. That isn't flat. It's some kind of scientist concept of flat, isn't it? And the really interesting thing about the story is that Euclid, the Greek geometrician, hundreds and hundreds of years ago, apparently got it right. So why have they spent all this money researching it? why couldn't they just accept his word for it? That 'cause apparently the universe conforms to classical geometric patterns, which were, as opposed to all this chaos theory that says that everything's just whizzing around because it feels like it.
Yes, it's not for you to quibble with scientists. So. QEDers, we say, the science trade.
Is your version of the universe, is it a deep crust? Or is it good cheese in the crust?
Do you want to hear my theory, my genuine theory, on what the nature of the universe? I think the universe is probably like a bit of IKEA furniture. With one bit missing. That, I feel, if you look at the universe that way, it starts to make sense. Sort of planned, but not quite.
A new scientific investigation claims the universe is flat. The scientists say that the universe is between 12 and 15 billion years old, or if you're listening to the repeat, 12 and 15 billion years and one day. And the scores at the end of round three are, excitingly, Andy and Fred with 10 points, but Alan and Rachel have leapt into the lead with 14 points. Before we start the final round, here's an item from the annual report of St. Thomas's Church, Kidsgrove.
Thanks are due to Jenny, who's finally accepted a full-time teaching post and no longer plays the piano for the playgroup.
Thanks to Miss M. Bateman of Kidsgrove for sending us that. Andy, listen to this. Say the French can't rock and roll, eh? That was the theme from A Man and a Woman. Why will meeting the opposite sex now be at your convenience?
Oh, this is a horrible story. I can barely... This is unisex lose. It means that, you know, when men want to go to the toilet to do what they do in the toilet, i.e. read the newspaper, there'll be women there. Breastfeeding, goodness knows what. Now, I'm less frightened than I was originally, because sadly, at the beginning, I thought there would be urinals, which actually, I understand that they're not urinals, they're closets. But also, the sign for a unisex toilet is apparently a man and a woman arm in arm. Why on earth?
Only on aircraft, then.
So anyway, it's unisex lose. They're trying one out in the city, but I confidently predict that it will be a failure. Mm. There you are. You heard it here first.
I know that in some gents' toilets, they suffer from people boring holes between cubicles. You know, which, I mean, I've always thought you would spot these people marching into convenience with an electric drill and some bits. But, you know, so obviously they're going to have to watch out for people that peep, you know, between cubicles, or indeed get their fingers stuck in the hole.
The designer of the unisex loo says he already has plans for 2 more in Bradford, 4 in Birmingham, but none at all on Clapham Common. 2 points to Andy. Fred, whose proposed transfer gave Sir Alex a rude awakening?
Rude. Van Nistelrooy, I think is how he's pronounced, who is a Dutch player against whom Scotland were playing the other night and thrashed them 0-0. Yeah, he's going to be going to Manchester United, who have got a bill, or the likely transfer fee, I think, is about 18 or 19 million, and Van Nistelrooy has got a gammy knee. So what they're going to do is just hack it off and buy him for 9 million. And as Sir Alex Ferguson himself said, I'll be very, very, very.
The problem with the Premiership is that Man U are allowed to have too many of the good players. It should be like... It should be like up the park. If it's a bit one-sided, at half-time... they should give, like, Beckham and Giggs to the other team and even it up. Or make the goal smaller, like when you move the coats in.
But think of how long it would take to explain to David Beckham what was happening.
We were discussing the £18 million transfer of Ruud van Nistelrooy to Manchester United, which has been put on hold while the players' injuries are investigated. So, 2 points to someone or other there. Alan, which local police force took some stick for their dogged pursuit?
A woman went into the woods with a dog, as they do. And she chucked a stick, and the dog brought it back, because it was a smart dog. And the dog became very attached to this stick, because it was a piece of larch, and you know dogs and larch. So the woman thought, well, I'll take it home. You'll like that at home in front of the fire. So she opened the boot of her car and put the stick in it. And because the rural police of England are so overmanned and have so much time on their hands, they pursued this woman and eventually tracked her down to get their stick back. about the idea of the dog taking their leg off, but meanwhile farmers were shooting people up and down the country. And the entire rural police force was looking for a dog and a stick. And the woman was called Mrs. Bandy or Mrs. Bun. Dog was called Bramble, I think.
Mm-hmm. Did they go and fetch all the sticks that have been taken out of the woods then and stick them back together and make a tree?
Yeah, it's an
IKEA forests.
Two points to Alan. Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
I am indebted to Jeff and Margaret Willis, who sent this article from Skyport, which I think is a Heathrow newspaper. A pilot frightened the life out of his passengers when he emerged from the cockpit wearing dark glasses and led by a guide dog. I shall explain. The incident took place on a flight from San Francisco. An eyewitness said, by the time we took off, there'd been a 45-minute delay. Then, unexpectedly, we stopped in Sacramento on the way. Everybody got off the plane except one gentleman who was blind. The pilot approached him and said, Keith, we're in Sacramento for almost an hour. Would you like to get off and stretch your legs? Keith replied, no thanks, but maybe my dog would like to stretch his legs. All the people in the gate area looked up and saw the pilot walk off the plane with the guide dog. The pilot was wearing sunglasses. People scattered in all directions. They not only tried to change planes, they were also trying to change airlines.
Alan.
I got one from the Mid-Sussex Times, Simon. And he says, a new team of bell ringers is being formed at St. Margaret's Church, West Hoathly. Both experienced and novice bell ringers interested in joining the group are invited to the church on Monday, September the 22nd, when experienced bell ringer Ian Harris will get the group off the ground.
The final scores are Andy and Fred with a very creditable 14, but Alan and Rachel, this week's winners, with 18 points. And before we say goodbye from Birmingham, here's a cutting from the small ads of the Lancashire Post, sent in by Ted Shepherd of Thirlwall.
Encyclopedia Britannica, full set, not needed due to husband knowing everything.
Goodbye!
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Andy Hamilton, Fred McCauley and Rachel Hayhoe-Flint. The chairman was Simon Hoggart, and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by Dave Cohen, Tom Jameson and George Poles. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.